Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 is where we'll take our text this evening. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. I'm sure you recognize that as part of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus gives many dictates of what is truth and what is error. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. It is impurities that cause salt to lose its taste. Clay, sand, other things might make the salt useless. Impurities cause men to be useless or good for nothing. Jesus here is speaking of sin. It's obvious. What makes us impure, though? When we stand before God on the judgment, and he says yes or no, what is it that he's going to see that causes him to say no? When we want to go to heaven, and our only option seems to be an eternity in hell, what is it that has caused that? It's sin. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Starting in verse 15, let's read. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. These are the things that make us impure. These are the categories of sin we see all through the Bible, and we see in our lives as well, people around us, and there may be things that we are trying to root out of our Christian life as well. And these are the categories, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These are the things that make us impure before God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul gives us a startling message about living after the flesh. He doesn't pull any punches here. He gives it all to you. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Live after the flesh, die. Mortify those deeds, you'll live. Mortify is an easy word. Some people may not know what it means, but it means to put to death. You know the word that M-O-R-T from mortician, a doctor that deals with death. Mortify means to put to death. And so when we do that, we leave that death behind. Live after the flesh, we'll die. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, Paul says, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. The mind of the flesh is death. Some things that we see in other places that Paul, the Apostle Paul says, flee fornication. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, flee. I don't know if you know, if you have a cartoon image in your head of what flee means. Someone startles you and you run for all your worth. You look behind a person and there's nothing but heels and elbows going down the street. Flee fornication. These are things that make us impure. We run away from them. I don't know why it is that some people want to walk a line. Walk a line between righteousness or purity and sin or impurity. The apostle says, flee. Get away from it just as fast as you can. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. The apostle gives a list of the things that are works of the flesh. things that, just like fornication, we ought to flee. Galatians 5, verse 19 reads, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest," that is, it's open for everyone to see, "which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the things which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." That old apostle, he doesn't leave us any room for misunderstanding here. In fact, you have to have help to misunderstand it. If you're involved in the works of the flesh, you're going to die. That's just the plain and simple fact of it. We need to live pure lives. There is also the lust of the eyes. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. If we want to be pure, the lust of the eyes has to be dealt with. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. It's almost synonymous with covetousness. Wanting things that you're not supposed to have. Wanting things that do you ill instead of do you good. Luke chapter 12, verse 15, "And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Beware of covetousness. That is simply an inordinate desire for something. Something that otherwise you may be allowed to have. One of these days, your car wears out and you'll want a new car. Someone might accuse you of covetousness there. That you could do cheaper, you could do simpler, you could do this or that. But you're allowed to have things. But if you wanted to cheat to get that, or if you wanted something that's going to cause the payments to be so much, or your family's not going to be fed, things of that nature, things that cause other things to go awry, that's covetousness. You ought not to have that way. Maybe something else would be better for you, but you simply don't see it that way. Keep yourself from covetousness. Your eye thinks, "Man, I look good in that car." Or, "Man, wouldn't that look good in my driveway? Somebody to go by and see that in my driveway." And we fool ourselves in these ways. It makes us impure. The lust of the eyes, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28, back in that Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Covetousness is just not right. Wanting something that you ought not have is just not right. Causes you to be impure. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. The Apostle Paul gives you a command. You have to put it to death. That is the lust of the eyes. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Put it to death. Eradicate it from your life. Don't play with it. Get rid of it. Some people like weird things. I tell off of my wife here, she likes skulls in the house, and that just bothers me. And I want to get her to get rid of that kind of stuff, but she likes it. But there comes a point when we have things in our house that are just not worth having there, that they cause dissension, or they cause people to be revolted. And we look at those things and say, "Why do I keep that in my house?" And so it goes in the trash, where it belonged in the first place. lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We need to get rid of things in our lives that cause us to be impure. You remember the story about the man who had a great harvest, and he said, I've got these barns, but they're not going to hold everything. He had no thought of giving any part of it to God or to the poor around him. No thought of any of those things. But he said, I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to build bigger barns. And then I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. I'm just going to take care of myself. He had the pride of life. I can take care of myself. I've made all this money. I have all these things. But God told him he was a fool. Tonight, your life is going to be required of you. Whose will those things be now? Revelation 3 and verse 17, the Lord was writing to the church at Laodicea, who said, they have need of nothing. We don't need anything. Jesus says, you're poor and you're blind and you're naked. You have things that you need, and I can provide them. But you've got to want those things. They had need of nothing. They were prideful. John chapter 6, verses 66 through 68. At the end of a very difficult sermon, the apostles were asked by Jesus. Everyone else had left because of the difficult words. Are you going to leave me too? Peter told him, where will we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where are we going to go? No pride there. No pride in that statement. No pride of life. He knew that he needed Jesus. And he realized, like James did, James 1, verse 17, every good and perfect gift is given from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Every good gift comes from God. Get rid of the pride of life in your life, or you'll be impure. Sin makes us impure. And not realizing that God is the one that, you know, as we sit here, we breathe in. Who put that there? As we go home, we're thirsty, and we have a jug of water in the refrigerator, or your tap is good enough to quench your thirst. Who put that there? Who made sure that we have that in order to drink? All these things were given by God. The spiritual blessings that we have. All spiritual blessings are in Christ, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. We can't get them anywhere else. Some people try, but they learn the truth eventually. We are to be free from impurities. Peter quoted the Old Testament when he says, be ye holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter 1, verse 16. And 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. We should agree that this is the place that we need to go to find out what to do when we find that we have impurities in our lives. 1 John 1, verses 7 through 9. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Cleanseth us from all sin. We're pure. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, get rid of the impurities. Become worth something again. Become that which will stand before God in the judgment. Get rid of sin. Jesus will cleanse your sin with his own blood, but you've got to walk in the light. And you've got to ask him for forgiveness. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Don't fool yourselves, he says in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You may have a need, and right now the invitation of heaven is open for you to ask for help with that need. If it is that you are weak and you need the prayers of the congregation, don't waste a moment. Don't waste an hour. Don't waste the rest of your life not taking care of that. If we can help you with your problem by praying for you, by encouraging you, by teaching you something that you may need to know, don't hesitate another moment. We're going to sing an invitation song in a moment. Why couldn't it be you coming for your salvation? Do you need to be baptized for the remission of sins? Do you need the prayers of the congregation? Don't waste another moment. Come as we stand and as we sing. There is